Okay, today's daf, which is daf Pei in Masechet Yoma, is sponsored by Yosef Rachmani on the occasion of the yahrzeit of his father-in-law, Shmuel ben Daniel, Zechron Baracha. All right, so I'll begin on Ayin Ten Rebbe is the bottom line. Let me get the daf open. Yeah, so on the bottom line on Ayin Ten Rebbe is page 158. It says, Tani, we learn the Braisa, Rebbe Yomer, Kol Shum Kulan B'Chzayit, all Shiurim are Chzayit. Rashi says all shurim that relate to foods are kzayit, plus an olive, chutz mitumat ochlin, except for the shir of tumat ochlin. So, shishinak tup b'mashma'an, v'shinu chachamim b'shiran. By tumas ochlin, we'll see a little bit differently. 1 minute. So the Gemara is going to explain there's a difference in language over there, and there's also, we'll see how this plays out. In other words, the idea is that when the Torah changes from its standard language, I know there's a different shear. So we'll see in a minute. In other words, he's going to say that the shear for ochel is a kibetza, not a kizash for tumen ochlin. So there's machloket rishonim. In other words, does it mean to be makabel tumo? And certainly everybody agrees to transmit tumo, you need a size of a kibetza. For food to transmit tumo, it has to be a size of a kibetza. There's a machloket rishonim. If that's true also to be makabel tumah, to be receptor for tumah. So some rishonim hold yichol shu, and others hold that it has to be a kibetza. But either way, we see when it comes to tumat ochlim, there's a different shear. It's not a kezias, it's kibetza. And that was, I'd seen that in the Masipta Gemara, and there's probably Simon Wolf had said it today in the shear as well. So kol shum kulam kezias, pesmi tumat ochlim, shinak tuv mashba'an, shinu chachami b'shiran. In other words, there's a difference in the language, in the pasuk, and the Chachamim said there's a difference in the shiurim. The raya ledavar yom kippurim. The raya is yom kippurim. So the Gemara says, "Vayishina haketub b'mashmo." So by yom kippur, how does Torah have a difference in language? Milo tuunem. So the Gemara there, the Torah says, "Kichol anefesh asher lo tuunem be'etzmayom zeven efrita." Any person that doesn't afflict themselves will get kare. So it could have said, any person that eats will get kare. So it would say eat, I'd say eating, that's a kazayas. Instead it says, ashelu tunam, or in Pam and Aleph, around 4 or 5 lines down. So he says, umay shnu chachamim b'shireha. What does it mean the chachamim changed the shir? That's kikotevet. In other words, normally the shir by food is a kazayas. By Beyom Kippur, they said it's the kotevet agasa, the fat date. And it mirrors the shinui in the pasuk. It doesn't say achilu bayom kippur. This is a shelo tuneh. So he says, okay. So then the Gemara says, "Dumai rai ledavar yom kippurim." So the Gemara says, "Why is it like there's a ra?" In other words, the Gemara is going to say there's a difference in the pasuk by tumas ochlim as well. We haven't come to it yet, but there's a shinui in the pasuk. We call it ochel and shayechel. Like there's extra verbiage over there. So there's going to be a different shear by tumas ochlim. So why is it, the word is asking, why is this more of a raya than that's a raya? In other words, here the Chachamim, we have the Pasuk Asher Lu Tumanet. And the Chachamim say it has to be Kotevet Agasa. So over there by Tumanet Ochlim, the Chachamim teach me it has to be Kibetza. And also the Pasuk is different. Why is one more a raya than the other one a raya? So he says, Umayi Raladava Yom HaKippurim, the Ime Hatam, if I only had the Pasuk by the Othel, which we'll see in 2 lines, I've been orphaned the Krahu. In other words, the shinui by Ochlim isn't so extreme. In other words, the shinui in the pasuk is not so blatant, not so obvious. So I would have said, if that's the only pasuk I would have had, I would have said that's the way the pasuk normally speaks. Tumen Ochlim kibetza min alon. So the Gemara says that's why I need. But once the Torah teaches me by Yom Kippur that I have a shinui in the pasuk, and I know there's a shinui in the shir, then I see whenever there's a shinui in the pasuk, is a shinui in the shear. Then I can extrapolate from there. So let me just do a few more lines and then I'll pause. Okay, so the Gemara says on line 6, Tumen Ochlin kibetza min alon. Where do we know that Ochlin is the size of beta? In other words, Ochel certainly transmits Tumen has to be kibetza, size of an egg. And we mentioned before that this Machloket Rishonim, does it have to be an egg, be Makabel Tumen? Some say it all does, and some say even a Kol Shehu. And that was in the Masipta Gemara, and also this Rabbi Simon Wolf mentioned this. So he says, so Tumen Ochlim and Kibetz Ben Alon, so Amri Vavon Rav Lazar, Rav says in Rav Lazar, the Amakram, he called Ochel Asher Yechel. It says, it's talking about the Tumah for Ochlim, says, Mikola ochel asher yechel, from any food that's eaten. So it's like extra verbiage there. You know, Mikola ochel asher yechel. So the Gemara darsens out, ochel b'machman ochel, that the food or the shear for the food has to be food that comes from a food. Ochel asher yechel, it's like a double language. So food is by definition something you eat. So ochel asher yechel, so the Gemara darsens out, ochel b'machman ochel, food that comes from food. The A's is Beit HaTarnagolet. The Gemara says, what's food that comes from food? If I have a hen and it lays an egg, so the hen is like walking food and the egg is food. So that's what the Torah is referring to. That's like an allusion that the shear for Tumat Ochlim is Kibetza. So the Gemara says, the Ema Didi, why can't it be Gedi, the kid? The mother is a goat, and it's a goat. This is Mechusar Shkita. So there, it's Mechusar Shkita. In other words, by the egg, on one, in other words, right, the mother needs shchita, but the egg doesn't need shchita. So I have green light for the egg. Here, they both need shchita. The Ema ben Pakua, why can't it be a ben Pakua? Ben Pakua is where the mother, whatever the animal is, was shechted, and it had a full-term fetus in utero, and then you cut open the womb, and then the animal comes out, even though it's live. It doesn't require shchita. I think on a deraisa level, I think on a rabbanan level, it does require shchita. But why can't the Torah be referring to ben pakua? So taun kriya. So the Gemara says ben pakua is not ready made. In other words, you have to rip it open and then you can eat it. So that's not the same as ochel asher yechel. Ochel giving sort of birth to one other ochel. The eman beitz bar yuchni. What about the egg of a bar yuchni? Bar yuchni is this big bird that has like a big, large egg. And the Gemara brings down in Masechet Bechorot, it says like that the egg, I don't know, like the fluid from the egg, it drowned 60 cities, but whatever it is, it's a big bird. So the Gemara says, why can't that be the shear? So the Gemara says, tapas tamarupa lo tapas, tapas mua tapas. In other words, if you have a choice between a larger shear and a lesser shear, you go with the lesser shear. So it's not going to be the egg of the bar yuchni, we'll go with the chicken egg. The ema beyatatatsiporto, he says, maybe we should say the egg of a smaller bird. He says the zutar tuba, which would be, you know, very small. So that's a kasha that the Gemara leaves. So the Gemara doesn't have an answer to that. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Bo was the one who quoted the halacha named Rabbi Lazar on the eighth line. So Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Bo himself says, he's building on his Rebbe's drasha. He says, not just food that comes from food, but it has to be food that you can eat for barachat, like with one gulp. The chamim evaluated that a typical person, can't swallow more than the beitza of a chicken. So if I could join that with the previous drasha, so we could see the food from food, but I see a food that you'll eat in one gulp, and that's the beitza tarnagolet. Okay, let's just summarize, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So we said that whenever there's a shinui in the pasuk, there's a shinui in the shear. So even though by ochlim shear is normally kizayit, but here by tumat ochlim there's a shinui in the pasuk, so it's not going to be kizayit. It's going to be a beitza. And the raya is yom kippurim. So by yom kippur, the Torah could have said, "Kichol nefesh asher tochal b'nechrika." Anybody who eats in yom kippur should be kareid. Instead, the Torah says, "Kichol nefesh tuneh." Any person that doesn't afflict themselves v'nechrito. So Chamim said it means it's not the kizayis, it's kutev regasa, like the fat date. So similarly, by ochlin, it's like extra verbiage, atypical verbiage. So it says, so it comes to teach you that the shiur is going to be ochel that came from ochel, which is going to be the base of the tarnagol, and that's that piece. Okay, who's your question, comes to us, anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right. Let's move on. Okay, so I'm up to around the 20th line. Amar Reb Lazar. Amar Reb Lazar, ha'ochel chelib zvanazeh, trich shetov lo shir. If a person would eat chelib, chelib is forbidden fat. If you eat chelib b'shogeg, you eat chelib b'mezid, you're chayv kare. So he says, so if you eat chelib zvanazeh, I mean, after the korban beis hamikdash, so you have to write the shear that you ate. You have to write to say, I ate like the size of a medium-sized kizayit of chelev. Because maybe later on, a later Beis Din will come, Yar B'Shurim, and increase the Shurim. So the Gemara says, my Yar B'Shurim, what does it mean to increase the Shurim? So if you want to say that they'll say that the Shir is like with Kazayim, you have a small side, a medium side, and a large side. So the Chachamim said it means Beinoni, but maybe later Shir will come and say that you're chayav for small kazayas. He says, Vahatanya, so in other words, we're going to get to it. Did you listen to today's offer already? Yeah. So the Gemara will get to that point. We're not up to it yet. So if you're going to say, the B'chayi Korban Chesai Katan, that, in other words, you'll write in your book that, in other words, let's say you write in your book you had a small kazayas, and then we'll see what happens. And later Beis Din will say, you're chayav a korban for small kazayas. B'hatanya, but we learn in the Braisa, Asher lo tiyah sena b'shkagah b'yashem. It's talking about the Nasi. If you did Naveira, that shouldn't be done b'shkagah b'yashem. But Chazal darshanan, Asher lo tiyah sena, Hashami diyatom evi korban shagato, lo shami diyatom evi korban shagato. It has to be a shear that had you known about it, you would have not done it. In other words, had I known it was the shear to give me a korban, I wouldn't have done the Naveira. So here, even if, let's say, he ate the size of a small kazayit, but had he known, you know, he still wouldn't have known that he'd be chayav a korban, so he wouldn't be. And there was, in other words, the requirements for the chiyav of a korban have to be that had I known the true facts, I would have not done the act. But here, had I known the true facts, I might have gone forward. 1 minute, we'll get to you, Vern. I know your question already. Now, you could ask, didn't we say Chatzi Shira?
Am I so predictable?
I don't know. Are you saying this Chatzi Shira Asra Min HaTorah? Is that what you want to ask me? Okay. All right. Anyway, so some want to say this is only true.
What's special about Chaylev that you know?
No, Chaylev is just the example. It could be anything with Shirim. But,
oh, okay.
Okay, I thought you were going to ask something else. But like, in other words, like
that's
we said
another
before,
good question, the Chatzi Shira.
Okay. So some want to say this is only asking within Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says Chatzi Shira is Mutar Min HaTorah, but even within the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, you could say that, you know, I wouldn't have known that I'd be high of a korban. So let me just, okay, so let's take back to the Gemara. So Ella, and then this, I think, the line that you were thinking of, Michael, you had heard, Ella b'chayvi korban adikizai gadol. No, it means that let's say the later Beis Din will say you're only high of a korban for a larger amount. So if I write now that I, you know, in other words, if I write down in my book, I'm chayav a korban chatat, and then later Beis Din says, you only have a korban for a large shear, I might not remember what the shear was that I ate. So I should write in my book that I ate a medium-sized kezayit. And then if later Beis Din says, you only have a korban for a larger kezayis, so then I don't have to bring a korban. That's the way that's the way it's going to come. So the Gemara says here, now, the Gemara says, v'lamali tisalik adaitim yikara, the way we initially thought that they'll be mechayev me for a lesser amount, my yar b'shurim. In other words, the Gemara said, the Brice had said that, the statement from Rabbi Lazar said that shem yivo beit din acher yar b'shurim. Maybe a later Beis Din will come and increase the shurim. And initially we said maybe it means you'll have a lower shurim. So how do we even think that? It says Yarba B'Shirim, and we're saying maybe it's the lower Shir. So the Gemara says that was the way we initially thought, and the Gemara rejected it. So my Yarba B'Shirim, Shem Yarba B'Korbanot Matmat Shirim, means you'll have an increased number of Korbanot, because we're lowering the level. Now,
can I ask a question?
Just 2 minutes, and I'll get you on the floor will be yours. One thing that you know, I was bothered about was that we say Shur Mar Halacha Moshe Sinai. So how is it that they're coming and being Mechadesh? So I spoke to some people at the base medrash today. That's what? What?
Not the next time?
Yeah, but it won't address it directly. So one person, Rabbi Eliav Levinson, that's Roz Wagner's grandson, he said to me that the Gemara says that like there's like, you know, like in other words, they knew Halacha Moshe Sinai, the Shir is Kazayim. But then there's a machloket. Does it mean small kezayit? Is it a small olive, medium olive, or a larger olive? That's the question. So, and then I spoke to.
There were no machlokes in them.
But no, so I'm saying, so that's where it's coming out. In other words, so the halakha mishnah is going to say kezayis. But then what does kezayis mean? So then, and then I spoke to Rabbi Ike Sultan. He said it means that this might answer your question. He says they could agree that it's kezayis beinoni, but what's the definition of a kezayis beinoni? And so, you know, one guy said, this is a kezayis beinoni, and another one says, no, the other is a kezayis beinoni. Okay, now the floor is all yours for...
What is the preferred amount of time, the passage after an act that requires me to give a kezayit, a korban chatat? In other words, am I supposed to be writing notes and waiting for shiurim to be changed?
In other words, preferably you should bring the korban chatat right away. And remember,
having me write notes.
Yeah, there's no beis hamikdash, so you can't bring a korban. There's no beis hamikdash. That's why you're keeping them the notes. But
But I'm going to be dead.
You know, that's why you have to write it in your booklet, in your book. Now the only thing is that remember we learned in the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, we didn't do Rosh Hashanah yet, did we? No.
Nope.
So it's coming up in Daf Yomi. Remember that this machloket, like if you're chayav a korban, there's something about making a neder. So I don't know if it would be for a korban chatat as well, like to fulfill it within like three regalim of when you made a neder. So I don't know if a korban chatat is the same exact situation. Okay.
Wait, I have a question.
Is it
obvious enough that increase the shiur, those you're high of a carbon, and you know, then there's no base of mikdash. Then they increase the shiur, and then now there's a base of mikdash. It's obvious that you're not high of the carbon anymore. You were over.
Yeah, you're over. Well, that's that's what the Gemara is saying. That no, if that basin says that you're not, then you can't. Now, all right, just a minute. We'll do a little piece on this from the Al-Adaf.
But I still have a question.
Okay, wait 1 second for this question, and then let me speak a little bit, then I'll get to you, okay? So we mentioned about having to write with the shear, and we said Reb Lazar's concerned that the sages in the time of Mashiach may find grounds to increase the measurement of kezayis from medium-sized olive used nowadays to large-sized olive. Consequently, it is possible that a person who eats kezayis today may be exempt from a chatas when the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt, and it's forbidden for one who is exempt from a chatas to offer one, and you bring Kulan Lazara. Rashi indicates that one must keep a record of his chatas obligation because of the possibility that the Mashiach may come during his lifetime. The Chidushei Aran in Masechet Shabbat, explains that a person who committed a chatat-bearing sin and died before the arrival of Mashiach will be exempt from offering the chatat upon Tchid HaMeitim because he's already attained atonement from his death, through his death, and does not require further atonement. In other words, chatat shemeitu ba'aleha. Well, in other words, he wants to say that once you die, so you're the slate is clean. Thus, he explains that recording one's sins required because one must consider the possibility that the Mikdash will be rebuilt during his lifetime. The Sfasa Emes questions why the concern that the measurement of kezayis may increase does not pertain to mitzvot. Instead of eating matzah on the first night of Pesach equaling a medium-sized olive, one should be required to eat much more because of the possibility the subsequent Beis Din may decide to increase the size. Once we're on a roll, the Beis Din could change its urim. So how do I even know that the mitzvahs are doing their mitzvahs? So I should up the ante even by achilas matzah. So that's the question of Sfas Emes. So in answer, he cites the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Kafei, which derives from the pasuk Hashofet Hashiyah Beyamim Ahein, that each generation should follow the Beis Din and the sages of their own generation. Regardless of their stature and of what the sages of a subsequent generation may rule, one is permitted and obligated to follow the governing Beis Din of his times. Only with regard to one who records his chatas liabilities for the time of Mashiach is there a concern. If the Sanhedrin in the times of Mashiach overturned the accepted ruling of today, decided that one who eats a piece of chalav equaling a medium-sized olive is exempt from a korban, it would be forbidden for one living in that generation to bring a korban. Okay, now, what do you got for me, Ruth? Ruth, I can't hear you. Ruth?
Okay, better. Thank you. I came in a minute, a little bit later when you were saying to Fern that because there's no Beis Hamikdash, you write it in a book, in a notebook. What can you explain a little bit what you mean by that?
Well, that's what the Gemara is saying here. The Gemara, you know, the Gemara mentions, I should have mentioned here as well. We have this in Masechet Shabbos, that Rabbi Shmuel, according to one version, he he was Mechal Shabbos according to one. Neely was Mechal, but according to one version, he wrote in his book that when the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt, he'll bring a Chatat Shemena. It means if a person does an Aveira that would obligate that person to bring a Korban Chatat, a sin offering, so that you should keep a record of it in a book. I don't know if people per se do that today, but that's what the Gemara has, okay?
Good enough.
All right, well, let's go on and don't forget to mute yourself. Okay, let's get back to the Gemara. So now, we're up to around 20 lines from the bottom. It's 2 lines above the, parentheses where it says Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shirim Va'onshin Lachom Moshe B'Sinai. Rabbi Yochanan says Shirim, like the measurements, and Onshin, the punishments, are Lachom Moshe B'Sinai. So the Gemara says, Onshim Michtav Chivi. What do you mean? The Onshim are written in the Torah. You get Kare, Misa, that's written in the Torah. Elohaki Kamar. And here, if you look on the side, he takes out the parentheses, where we can read it, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shurim Shal Onshim Lachal Moshe Misinai. The Shurim that are connected to the Onshim are Lachal Moshe Misinai. So Tani Nami Haki, and it means like we gave an example, like Yid Chalev, Yir Chayv Karet, so the amount to eat will be Kathayas. So, Tani Nami Hafi, Shirim Shal Own Shal Lachom Moshe Misinai. Acherim Omrim, now Acherim Omrim, other say, usually we say Reb Meir, Beitino Shal Yabet Tiknum, that the Bezin of Yabet, Rashi tells us the first four line downstairs, it's Neil Ben Kenaz, who was one of the Shoftim, that he established the Shirim. So the Gemara says, Bakti Ve'elam Mitzvot Shein Nabi Rashi L'Kadesh Davar Me'ata, but the Pasuk says, Eilam Mitzvot, and the Chazal darshan out, the Nabi is not permitted to innovate. So how could he have said what the shiurim are? In other words, the shiurim should be given over. It means that people forgot the shiurim, and then he was able to restore it. Okay, any questions? All right, I'm going on. Okay, we're 10 lines from the bottom at the two dots. Now, hashotim lo lugma, we said if a person drinks, lo lugma means his cheek fills, on Yom Kippur, he's chayav kare. So Amar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, Rav Yudah's name is Shmuel, it doesn't mean literally your cheek fills. Like if you look in the screen, like both my cheeks, anybody looking at me? That's what we got the screen. Okay. So it means like that. So it doesn't mean literally that way. And it means if I just have like one cheek full like that, but it looks like my both cheeks are filled, so that's enough. Now, usually we say the Malon Lugma, we usually say the robe revi, the way we usually say it. Most of the revias. So the Gemara says, Vanantanan Malon Lugma, but the Mishnah says, Malon Lugma, his cheek fills. And you're saying, I only need one cheek full. He says, Ema Kim Malon Lugma. So I should say, I'm going to say the Mishnah, like as if it's Malon Lugma, but it really means one cheek filled. Okay, now, Meifei, so in this we ask a question from the following Braisa. Kami Shtebi Hechayev. How much should one drink, or would one drink on Yom Kippur and be chayav kari? Beit Shammai and Revi'it. Beit Shammai says Revi'it. It's a, like a large measure. You have to have Revi'it in order to be chayav for Shti on Yom Kippur. But Beit Hillel Omri Malo Lugma. Beit Hillel says Malo Lugma of his cheek filled. He says Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Reb Lezer Kim Malo Lugma. Rabbi Yehuda says like Malo Lugma. Rabbi Yehuda Mebeteir Omer Kedei Gemiyam. Rabbi Yehuda Mebeteir says like enough to swallow. So now, we usually follow Beit Hillel. So what does Beit Hillel say in the Mishnah? Beit Hillel says, Malo Lugma. And we have a different opinion. It says, Kim Malo Lugma. So Beit Hillel says, Malo Lugma, which sounds like it's both cheek filled. And we just said it means one. So the Gemara says, Mi Adifim Yonitin. So is the statement of Beit Hillel, Malo Lugma, is that, any more significant than the statement of our Mishnah? Do Kim Nekdei Shireh, Hachanam Nekdei Shireh. So if I said in the Mishnah, it means like it looks like he's both full because it's really on one side. So if I can interpret the Mishnah that way, I can interpret Hillel that way as well. So Ihachi and Reb Lezer. But if I interpret Hillel that way, it comes up Hillel is saying the same thing as Reb Lezer. Because Reb Lezer said, Kim lo lugma. So the Gemara says, Ikabinayim lo lugma of dachuk. So not to make it between the two will be how big lo lugma of the cheek fill as it have to be. So according to Hillel, it has to be like a really full cheek. And according to the Tan Reb Lezer, even not so full, you'd still be fine. All right. Now the Gemara says, "Maktla Ravoshius." So if that's the pshat that Malo Lugma is Beis Hillel is really saying one cheekful filled and you're chayiv, and Beit Shammai says a revius, And we said, well, Lugmav is like a rogue review. So Beit Shammai has a larger shear, but the larger shear here is really a kula, right? Because if I'm only five karet, when I eat the larger shear, that's a leniency. So the Gemara says, so if that's the case, the way we said Pshat in our Mishnah, it comes out, this would be an example, which is a rare example, where Beit Hillel is Machmir and Beit Shammai is Mekil. And there's a whole list of those situations in Masechet Eduyot, but it's not listed there. It's not listed there. So that's the question. So Amarles, that's the question that Rav Oshie asked. So Amarles, it's not clear who's talking to him. Whatever was talking to him said, turn page, top line, pay on the base. Amarles, he itchil, but ogmel kabashan itchil. He says, the havlu beit shaman lechumra. When the question was raised in the base medrash about the shiurim, so it was asked in reference to ogmel kabashan is like a giant, right? Ogmel kabashan, but it means a very big person. So if it's a very big person, now, Beit Shammai shear is standard. It's revius. It doesn't change by the person. Beit Hillel shear changes by the person. Melo Lugmav. So with Ogmel Chabashan, so Melo Lugmav would be the larger shear and revius would be the smaller shear. And there, Beit Shammai would be Machmir. So when it came up in the base medrash, Kami Shadahei Chayav, how much you drink be Chayav, it came up in reference to like a big person. So with a big person, indeed, Beit Shammai would be L'chumra. All right. Everybody good so far? All right, I'm moving on. So we're on the second line on Pam Beis. So the Gemara says, Matkiv L'Rab Zeira. So Rab Zeira asks a strong question based on Sfara. That's the way it usually goes. Ma'ishna achila chol chabachan b'kachot tevet. Why by achila, the amount of food to be mechayvu for a karet and a b'shogig korban chatat, we have a standard measure. Everybody, doesn't matter, you're small, you're big, whatever, it's kotev ragasa, the fat date. And why is it by drinking, there everybody is based on that individual? In other words, it's below logma. So one changes by the person, and one is a... So why is we have that difference? So Amarle Abaye, so Abaye said, and here the Bach has, Ba'achila, kimhul rabbanan b'kakotevet. Ba'achila, the chamim established that it should be kotevet, the fat date. The miyatva daite, miyatva. That we're looking for the shear to give yishuv das. In other words, you feel settled down from eating that amount. The chamim established or had a masorah this way that's the shear kotevet agasa that works for everybody. He says b'shtia b'dide miyatva daite, but the lo miyatva daite. When it comes to drinking, that's individualized. And everybody has a different yishuv based on their size. That's what his answer is. That's Abai's answer. So Matkibla Reb Zeira. So again, Reb Zeira asked a question on this. Now again, Reb Zeira is the one who asked the original question. So Reb Zeira is still not done. You mean there's a standard size for eating, and the whole world is the size of the fat date, and Ogmel Chabashan, this big giant, he's also Kotevet? How does that work? How could that be Yishuv Das for him and for everybody in the world? You're saying everybody's got the same amount for Yishuv Das? So Amar Li Abaye, so Abaye again responds to him, Kim Lulu Rabbanan, the Chamim established, the Vahachi Miyad Vedayte, Batsi Yer Mehachi Lo Miyad Vedayte. In Achinami, Kotevet Agasa is the shear for Yishuv Das. Miyum, Huliyama Tuba. And the rest of the world will have a lot of Yishuv Das from eating the little, you know, the fat date. He says, Og Melech Mashan Porta. Old Melech HaBashan will just have a little Yishuv Das, but in Achinami, that's the shear. Let me do a few more lines and then I will pause. Matkitla Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira poses the following question. Basar Shamei B'Kakotevet, Vululvei Gifanei B'Kakotevet? You mean, if a person eats fat meat, that's the shear of a kotevet. Fat meat gives you a lot of Yishuv Das. It's a nice little morsel. And Lulvei Gifanei, like vine shoots from, that's also kotevet? So it means like you're, you know, eating like something non-substantial. So Amar Le Abaye, Kim L'Rabbanan, the Bahachi, Miyat V'Daite, the Chamim established that that's the amount for Yishuv Das, Batsi Miyat L'Miyat V'Daite, Miu, Basar Shemain, Tuva. With the Basar Shemain, you get a lot of Yishuv Das. He says, Lulbe Gepanim, Porta. With the Lulbe Gepanim, just a little bit. Okay, let me pause for a minute. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts?
You always say that it's Abaye who gets hold of you and doesn't let go. But here, he was on the other end because it was Reb Zeira
Right. That's
and he true. Kept coming back basically with the same answer, Abaye.
All right.
Didn't change.
Any other questions, comments? Of course. I'm just going through. What do you want me to do? What? All right. 1 second. All right. Let me see. Okay. Let me see what we got. All right. Let me talk about Loma for a minute. Okay. Now, this is from the Daf Digest. Okay. The conclusion of the Gemara is that a chikol, Malod Lugmav, is determined by measuring the amount of food or liquid that could be pressed into one cheek so that it protrudes and is visible. That's Malod Lugmav. Furthermore, this measurement is calculated subjectively because it is that quantity that puts his mind at ease. Because I'll estimate that for an average person, Malod Lugmav is less than a quarter of a load, less than a revius. In the opinion of some poskim, this represents slightly less than a revius. Like, in other words, if a revius, let's say it would be 5 fluid ounces, though I think for Yom Kippur would be much less this year, but assuming, just for example, let's say it would be 5, so some say it's a little bit less than 5, whereas according to others, it would be slightly more than half a revius, like slightly. Third position is that the Malod Lugmav of an average person should be estimated at a majority of a revius. So I don't know, majority and a little bit more than half. In practical terms, it is measured as 40 cc or 30 cc for a small person, or 40 cubic centimeters. I don't know what fluid ounces, or Michael may be able to work on it. Okay, 30 to 40 cubic centimeters. Okay, or 40 to 30 milliliters, right? That would be the way we go. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach expressed uncertainty whether dentures diminish the size of a person's Malod Lugmav. Now, let's say I have dentures, so now is my Malod Lugmav dropped down? So he says, more specifically, if a person gets dentures on Erev Yom Kippur or loses a tooth on Erev Yom Kippur, does that change cause an immediate change to his Malod Lugmav? Now, if I have less space or more space in my mouth, so now my Malod Lugmav has changed. So does that mean, like, for the Halacha, Yom Kippur's changed? The reason for this uncertainty is that on the one hand, because I'll state explicitly that a subjective Malod Lugmav puts a person's mind at ease, which indicates the size of Malod Lugmav should change according to a person's circumstance. On the other hand, he considers it illogical that in a small amount of time, the quantity of liquid necessary to put a person's mind at ease would change. In other words, like, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning, I had one Malod Lugmav, now at 12 o'clock, I have a different one. He says he leaves the question unresolved. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts? All right. I'm going on. It means like you were like, you know, out of sorts because no food. Now you ate a little bit, you feel like a little bit, you know, a little bit better, like that type of thing. What? Well, that's Papasala was a different idea, but here it's like it's in the gut. Okay, let's take this back in the Gemara. All right, now so I'm back in the Gemara. I'm one line above the parenthesis. Rava posed a strong question. Now, on the side, he says it should be Kesayas, but the box says the Kakotevet. But he's after how much time do you have to eat that object? So, Markipla Rava, either because I or by Kakotevet, but they are Hilipras. In other words, the time is Hilipras. Hilipras is half a loaf of bread, and it's either 3 or 4 eggs. He says, Chatzipras. Chatzi pras is for a certain din. The Gemara is going to learn that if you eat food that's tamei, so then you can't eat truma if you're a kohen. And the shear of food that's tamei would be half a pras. So if a pras is 4 eggs, it would be 2 eggs. If it's 3 eggs, 1.5 eggs. But that's also b'chdei achila pras, the amount of time to eat a whole loaf of bread. So in other words, he's asking, does that make sense? A small shear, like a kotevet or a kezias. So I'm given the amount of time to eat half a loaf of bread. Now, but they have the press, the postium says like between 2 and 9 minutes usually. And somebody told this Rabbi Ike Sultan mentioned with the Kapatayim, this Yom Kippur is 15 minutes. But the but does it make sense that the same shear for eating should be the same for with a small amount of food or a large amount of food? So Amalei Rapapa, Anachla Tuma Givia, Delab Doraitihi. He says, leave out Tuman Gibiyah. That's not a din minatok. He says, Umiyamura Papa Haki, meaning it's a din derabanan, and the coming word deciding what the amount will be. You know, I skipped something, right? No, I'm so sorry. I got to go back. I'm sorry. Okay, let's go back. I skipped some lines. Nobody said anything to me. We're up to four lines above where the parentheses are. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Everybody have it. It's around midway down the column. Okay.
You missed it.
I got to go back. Okay. Markif la Rava. Rava posed a question. So he says, how can it be that a kizayah is the amount of time to eat achilat pras, a half a loaf, which is either three or four eggs, and that a kotevet is also with the achilat pras? So Amar le Abaye, himul rabban and the bahaki miyat b'dayte, b'temihak and lo miyat b'dayte. So the Chachamim established for Yishuv Das, I need to eat the food like in a concentrated period of time. Otherwise, I don't have Yishuv Das with it. That's Abaye's answer. So Matkip Rabbas, then Rabba asks, he's coming back in him again. He says, either Kisayas or Bekotebe Bekhechil Pras and Chatzi Pras Bekhechil Pras. So why should it be the same amount of time when I'm eating the Kotebet and I'm eating the Chatzi Pras, the quarter loaf of bread? So, and again, Rabba's initial question was Kisayas and Kotebet. So the difference between Kizayas and Kotevet is not that great. In other words, Kotevet is bigger than a Kizayas, but it's not such a big difference. But here, he's asking him from the din that a Chatzi Pras, so Pras is half a loaf of bread, three or four eggs. Chatzi Pras is half of that. That's a much larger amount. So that would be like two eggs or an egg and a half. And that's also a half of the Pras. So Amalei Rapapa, Hanakla Tumen Kivit, Lab Doraitis. Rapapa said, leave out Tumen Kivit, let a person become Tami from eating the food. That's not in a Torah. It means on a derice level, you don't become Tame from eating Tame food. He says, Umir and Papa Haki, the Rabbi Papa really say that. But the Pasuk in Chumer says, that you shouldn't become, it says, Altishan Suit Nashotechem, because Sheriff says, Rain Sala Arets, don't defile yourselves with all the teeming creatures on the face of the earth. Loti Tamu Behem and Itme Tempam. You shouldn't become Tame from it, and you'll become Tame. But Rapapa becomes Tumut via Duraita. So Rapapa said the Pasuk is talking about when it's becoming Tamei. So the only people who are Mitzvah enough to become Tamei are Kohanim. This Pasuk is not addressed to the Kohanim. So it's talking about Tumut Gevia, eating Tamei food. So the Gemara says Rapapa says becomes Tumut Gevia in Duraita. So from here you see that person becoming Tamei from eating food is in Duraita. We just said it was the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says no. No, really, it's a din rabbanan. This pasuk is just a remnant to it. And the little real limit from this pasuk, which we had earlier in our masechta on daf lamed tet, is when you become tame, I think, from one aveira, a little aveira, then become even more tame. In other words, you're on a roll. Like when you, let me see, let's go ahead. Yeah, so if you look at lamed tet amud aleph 39a, so the Gemara had a lima, your heart will become callous. That's one drasha. And another brisa said, he says that if a person has been tummy himself a little bit, so then minashamayim, they let him become even more tummy. Once he shows his proclivity that way, they open up the doors to becoming more tummy. Anyway, so, and then there's more over there. I'm not saying about all. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, let's see further. All right, so we're around 10 lines to the bottom at the two dots. Kola Ochlin, we said that all food is mitztarev, can join together to reach the shear of Kotevet Agasa, and can join together to be from Lo Lugma. Kola Ochlin, Amar Papa, Achal Umsa Umilcha. Now, if a person ate a piece of meat, and with salt on the piece of meat, it's mitzarev. The avodah the labachilahi. Even though salt is not considered an ochel, there was an alaf of salt not considered a food. But when he puts the salt on a piece of meat, and now only with the salt does he get kotevet agasa. Even to achli inshi mitzarev. That's the way people eat the piece of meat, and it's to make the piece of meat taste nicer. So it's considered to be an ochel for that purpose. So meila, it would add up to the shear of kotevet agasa with the salt. Amar Rabash, Amar Rish Lakish, Seer Shal Gabi Yerek, Mitzarev Kakotevet B'Yom HaKippurim. Rish Lakish says Seer is like the brine that's on a vegetable, and you dip the vegetable in brine. He says that's Mitzarev Kotevet to Kotevet Agas on Yom HaKippur. So the verse is Peshitta. Isn't that obvious? Is one food, another food? Ma'udatim a mashu. I might have thought seer is really a mashka. The seer is really a beverage. So beverage and food don't join to create different shiurim. So kamash malan ko achshuri uchla uchlu. That anything that makes the food more delectable is considered an ochel. So since that's the way you would eat the vegetable, you dip it in the seer. So the seer can be add on to that and create the shiur for kotev gasa. All right, now five lines to the bottom on 10 days. Amrei Stakish, ha ochel achilat gasa b'yom kippurim patur. If a person eats an achilat gasa on Yom Kippur, he's patur. Let's look at Rashi on this, the second wide line from downstairs. Achilat gasa, shachal eli yom kippurim ala sova. Shaya saveyam yisuda shiv sikva. It means a person was stuffed on Erev Yom Kippur. He ate a lot of food at the Suda Mafseket, and now he's like ready to throw up from the food. And then, back in Rashi, then, somehow, I guess when it comes to food, everybody's always able to eat. He forces himself to eat a little bit more food, even though he's like ready to throw up. That's Achil Gasa Yom Kippur. Let's eat back on the Gemara. So, Amar Shach Sha'ochel Achil Gasa Yom Kippurim Patur. So, if I ate the Achil Gasa, it's like one of these Jewish press quiz questions. How can you eat the shear and still be popped from karet? So, if... I mean, it could be also pituach nefesh, be another way. But if I eat a chilek gasa, I'm patur. My taima, I should lo tunechti. It says anybody that doesn't afflict themselves, prat lamazik. In other words, here the eating is not removing an affliction. Here the eating, because I'm ready to throw up. Here the eating is it's tamazik. It's harmful to me and it's harmful to the food. In other words, like it's not viewed as like being useful to the food either. So mainly not chayv. Now, they said in the art scroll that there's two types of achilat gasa. There's one achilat gasa I described, like you're ready to like throw up, you're bursting at the seams. That's the type you're patur. There's another type of achilat gasa, you feel full, but you can still eat a little bit, and then you're not patur for that achilat gasa. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, maybe so far? All right, let's go on. Now, we're four lines from the bottom on payment days. Amr b'yirmi amr shlakish, zar shachal truma achilat gasa, let's say a non-Kohen ate truma, but he ate it, the truma is a chilek gasa. The same fact pattern as before. He had a meal, he stuffed to the gills, and then he eats truma. So din in Torah is if you eat truma b'shogeg, you pay a keren and a chomesh. The principal amount and a fifth. We know the fifth is the fourth because we have the bar. So he says, so here in this case, he only pays the keren, he doesn't pay the chomesh. Ki yochal prat lamazik. It says, ki yochal kodesh b'shkaga. You'll eat it. This is not called like eating. It's called like just an act of mazik to yourself and to the food. Okay. Amarib Yirmi, Amarib Yochanan, on the bottom line, zar, on the top line of payoff of Manalot, zar, should kosei se'orim shel truma. Now, kosei, Rashi says, on the top line of Rashi, if you eat it not in the normal fashion, it's called koseis. Koseis to chew. In other words, if you chew on raw barley, people don't eat raw barley. So that's called koseis. So he says, zar should koseis to orim shel truma. If he chews the raw barley that was truma, mishalim in a keren, veinu mishalim in a chomesh. So here too, he would only be chayav for keren, the principal amount, not the chomesh. Kiyokal pratlamazik. Same idea as before. Kiyokal pratlamazik, and this is also considered a type of hezek. What's up?
So you took an objective kotevet hagasa, and you've made it subjective when it comes to the achilat gasa. In other words, the way we were comparing the ochel and the shtia before, when is objective?
In other words, the shear is objective. But whether it's achilat gasa, that would be subjective. Right? Because everyone's different. Everyone's different, right?
So why are we doing that? In other words, we took an objective.
I mean, doesn't that make sense? I mean, let's say the person, he's a glutton. He loves eating a ton of food. He's vastly overweight. And he eats a meal. He's not achilat gasa. So what are you supposed to say? It depends on each person.
No, but I'm
right. Right. It's not going to be adjudicated in the court. Right. But in terms of achilas kari, but it could be b'shogeg whether you're chayav the korban chatat as well. Anyway, but that's the way I would say it. Although it is a tricky issue. When do we say the shiurim are subjective, when objective? Right. So that was subjective. Right. Right. Now, I'll tell you something else I saw today. So I saw in the Mishnah Berurah today and in the Piskei Teshuvos, they were talking about is Kedei Achila Pras, is that an objective standard or a subjective standard? In other words, do we say that
is
there's
the time
an objective standard, how long the average person
measure, right?
Or do we say each person has their own shear for Kedei Achila Pras? So the Mishnah Berurah, or whether it's Mashma from the Mishnah Berurah, like one way, but like many posts can say it's objective. But all right, let's go further in the Gemara. You get the idea, though. So he says, so let me go over again. So Now, let's say you have a non-Kohen. We're moving away from Yom Kippur now, just focusing on the Achila part. Let's say you have a non-Kohen. He swallows whole these, what are they, plums? Plums, yeah. These are plums of Truma. So in other words, he swallows the, he doesn't chew it. He just swallows the plum whole. He says, and then Hikian, and then he regurgitates it. He says, Va'achlan acher, and then somebody else comes along and eats the plums. Yeah, it doesn't sound great. Rishon Mishalim Karen Mechomish. So the first person who swallowed the plums whole, so he has to pay Karen Mechomish, meaning even though he didn't chew it, and even though it just went through his throat, and then he regurgitated it, that's called Achila. That's called Achila. And Mimela, so now he's chayev Karen Mechomish. He's got the whole deal. He's chayev everything. Shani, but the second person who ate the plums, he says, Amen Shalomil Dmei Eitzim L'Rishon Babad. He, now, the plums at this point have been converted to the person, the first person would be Reuven, and the second person is Shimon. Neither one, both non-Kohenim. So the plums, I don't know if they were given to a Kohen or not, but the plums belong to the Shevet Kuna. So Reuven wrongfully ate the plums, but then he regurgitated it. So even though he wrongfully ate the plums, he acquired a kinyan in the plums. The plums are now his plums. Okay, so now Shimon, who used the plums, the Shimon ate the plums. He's owes Demei Eitz. Now he doesn't owe it as food. In other words, we don't view it as food anymore because it was regurgitated. So he owes only Demei Eitz similar Rishon Babad. He only owes the amount of wood. In other words, like the amount of fuel, in other words, that what the value of the plums are as fuel to Reuven. All right,
perfect definition.
So who's unjustly enriched?
Say again.
Someone gets two and a quarter. Who gets it? Levi, the Kohen.
Wait, I'm losing you. Well, let's go back again. So first,
the same plum.
Okay, wait. Let's hear it. First, Reuven ate the plums. Regurgitated it. So he owes a Karen Mechomesh to Shevet Kuhuna.
To whom?
It's got to be if it was already in the property of a specific coin, he owes that coin. If it wasn't,
right, so
I don't know where it would go.
That coin is now unjustly enriched.
He owes a Karen Mechomesh. Right. Now, Shimon, he ate the plums. Now, who do those plums belong to at this point? So now the Gemara says those plums are now Reuven's plums. They went from Shevet Kuhuna to Reuven. Reuven paid a Karen Mechomish for it. He paid a steep price for it. So now that's his plums. So Shimon owes to Reuven. Yeah, he owes to Reuven the Me'etim, the value of the plums as firewood. That's what he owes. Okay.
Oh, when he said it went to Risa.
Okay. All right. 1 minute.
This is a full definition of Malagera. Malagera.
What? Malagera is talking about like a cow, like an animal.
No, that was a silly joke.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, yeah, 1 minute. Yeah, so Michael asked, how can swallowing something whole be considered achila? Yeah, so it means once it goes past the throat, that's achila. No. For achila, remember we spoke about the other day, hanas me'av, hanas grono, remember? So once it goes past the throat, it's considered achila. We did have a question by Yom Kippur, is it hanas me'av or hanas grono? From this Gemara, it sounded like, well, this was talking about truma,
grono.
But it sounded like, from this Gemara, it's not, okay, but... But from this din, it's clearly going with Hanat Grono. All right. Okay, I think I'm going to sign off at this point in time. Okay, let me just end the recording. 1 second. Okay, again, the learning tonight was the neshama of Yosef Rachmani's father-in-law, Shmuel ben Daniel, Zichrono Lebracha. 1 second.